So let us talk about this ministry. And Paul is saying that this ministry will not be discredited. And overall, he's talking about his apostleship. And secondly, from verse 18 of chapter 5, Paul was talking about the reconciliation. This is hierastelion in Greek. This is the same word that Paul used in Romans 3:26. Our God has used the blood of His own Son as a sacrifice of reconciliation. So he was talking about the blood that is used in that reconciliation offering. In the Day of Great Atonement, the Holy of Holies is opened. But the blood that enters into the Holy of Holies is the blood that does not receive the information of the blood by laying of hands. In the other sacrifices, you sprinkle the blood where you impart the records of the sin of the Israelites and the priest. But the blood that is being sprinkled in the Holy of Holies is the blood that does not contain any information of the sin within. Our God, our Lord Jesus came as a little lamb, right? That's why He had both functions of the blood within Himself. The blood which He carried the information of the sin of the mankind, and He has to spill that outside of the gate. And the pure blood which He maintained by living fully by the Holy Spirit, and that's the blood which erased all the records of the sin that was recorded in the heavenly temple. And that blood was sprinkled in your heart, in your spirit. And just by looking at that, you know, you can see how tremendous beings you are. And that blood is only sprinkled in the Holy of Holies. When the priest is holding on to that blood, the curtain that is lying between the holy place and the Holy of Holies is being opened. And that curtain is so strong and stiff so that you cannot even tear it off with two elephants. But when Jesus died, that veil was torn open. So that's why in the book of Hebrews, it is prophesied that God will meet His person on the Ark of the Covenant when the blood was spilled. And that is the hierastelismos. And the word for the sacrifice of reconciliation is hierastelion. They are from the same root. Anyways, after that blood was sprinkled, Israelites were able to reconcile with God and enter into His presence again. And because of the blood that was spilled in you, you receive the righteousness of God, and you can go before God's throne of mercy, and you can see the face that no angels can even see. Amen. So we need to continue to see His glory and enter into His presence. That's the ministry of the reconciliation that Paul received. Pastors are very important people who are keep mediating this status of reconciliation between God and the church members. So do you see how important you are? So while you're living on this earth, you are different from your church members. And you should not misunderstand that you can also live as same as those lay members. While you're living on this earth, you're living in a completely different dimension from the lay members. Amen? So imagine how interested would God be toward his servants, because the destiny of his children are laid upon their hands. And as far as I know, as far as I experience, the value of a spirit is more valuable than the universe. And that kind of spirit is entrusted to the pastors. So you should not be able to bear the burden, the weight of that burden. That is the intensity of the holiness. That is why pastor should always bow down and lay down himself completely before God. That's when they can carry that burden. Hebrews 5:7 says that for Jesus it was the suffering of death. If he commits a sin even for once, then the salvation of the mankind would be just blown away. That's how great the pressure of God's, that's how great the pressure of Jesus was. That is why he cried before God with a fervent cries and tears. So if you do not cry like that before God, then it means that you don't have calling. If you don't lay yourselves down before God like that, then many pastors will try to release their stress through something else. And then the enemies will just slaughter the church freely. When the pastor opens up the gate of the world into the church, then the church will be filled with the world. If the pastor is immoral, then the church will become immoral. That is why God gives you all the grace so that you could overcome, you could bear the intensity of the holiness. And I was about to say the content of reconciliation, which I was not able to say yesterday. But Paul said that our ministry will not be discredited. And we know that Paul was not saying this just for himself, just for his own fame. When you look at chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said that we are God's co-workers. We urge you as co-workers. So when Paul is saying that our ministry is not being discredited, means that he is talking about the fame of God. It's about fame of God's kingdom. No matter how we are treated, it does not really matter. But God will never allow the world to treat us lightly, because it is not about our own fame, but it is about His fame and His names. Because the kingdom of God is laid upon your hands. So as you enter into deeper relationship with God, you should be able to hear like this, that you are my glory, you are my fame. And this is something that I already talked in the book of Isaiah. You are God's glory, your fame. God is God's fame. You are God's glory. And you are God's pride. And you should be able to believe in this always. And you should confirm this through the Holy Spirit always. And just like Romans 8:15 says, Holy Spirit always tell us and confirm us that we are children of God. And the dignity of the word Son of God always confirmed to us is the honor that we have after you are called as servants, as pastors. There's no reason for God to not keep reminding His servants about this dignity. The church is becoming holy according to the spiritual pride that the pastors have. God, who is the creator of the universe, has called me as His servant. You should be proud for this. That's why Paul did not allow anybody to discredit his honor for his ministry. It does not matter about his personal things. Just like David. When Goliath was mocking God, it didn't matter how big he was, it didn't matter how strong he was, nothing mattered for David. Because he mocked God's honor, he is now dead. He is now, you know, my lunch. You should be able to have that pride in you. And what else is he saying? He said, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path. Stumbling block is scandalon, that you stumble upon it. As I said, Paul didn't really care about people's opinion. He always decided everything based on the relationship between God. So, you know, when Sergio is not ordained, I can tell him this and that. But I rarely tell our associate pastors to do anything because they are not my servants, but they are servants of God. So they should decide everything within the relationship between God. And of course, it does not mean that I don't tell them to do anything under their offices. But everything is decided between the relationship of God. No matter what the world says, no matter what anybody says, you should not consider them at first. And once you begin to care about those things, then pastors will begin to waste their energy into something meaningless. When I am mocked, when I'm insulted, you try to convince yourself to the others. God will reveal your righteousness to others eventually. So you should not care about people's opinion, about the worldly opinions. We already talked about this, right? So we saw the spiritual agility of Apostle Paul carrying the death of Jesus immediately. It is not the condition or the reaction of the people that kills me. It is because that I choose that as my weakness that I die. So when those things come, you proclaim Jesus' death is my death immediately. And the reason why that becomes a problem is because I react and respond by my old self. So I need to die to my old self, and when I become a new self, then the circumstances and conditions or the people, they should never be considered as problem for me. And even more, I don't have to persuade to people. I don't have to, you know, use my energy to those kind of things. All my righteousness come from God alone. So unless you maintain this kind of spiritual status, the pastors would easily get exhausted. So the office of the pastor do not require many things. But it is not so easy for pastors to reach the amount of meeting God in the solidity. Though my church members and our pastors are looking at my life, when I'm at church, normally I would bow down before God 5 to 6 hours a day. It's not that I try and force myself to do that. But according to my office as a pastor, I need to spend those hours in God. So that is why no matter where I go around the world, I require the pastors to not have a second job. The reason why you should not have a secondary job is because physically, you should spend your time alone in your pastor ministry. And you might think that because I don't have many church members, I should live like that. But no, that's not true, because I also lived like that when I only had one member in the church. Because that's the amount that is decided because of your office. It is not about, you know, you have many things to do in your office, but because you are also a servant of God, that's why He is responsible for you. That's why I tell you not to have a secondary job. And if you are surely called by God, then that's how God will require you to live like that. And that's what He meant by saying that His ministry is not being discredited. And when we say that it is not being a stumbling block, it means that you're not responding to your weaknesses, or you're not responding to His weaknesses. And He's telling them to not stumble upon it. And instead of just saying that, you know, you have to try for that, but it is all about your identity. And Paul is beginning to talk about the new identity that he has from verse 9. And the source of that identity is carrying the identity of Christ in him.
What is the gospel of God creating me to become? How glorious and how precious is that gospel? If he does not regard the gospel of God as precious to himself, how can he give it to his church members as if it is very meaningful? Sometimes our prayers waver because of this. It's either our righteousness being wavered, or is that the Holy Spirit is not leading my prayer at the moment. Sometimes we're met with such situations. Then that means something is disturbing the identity of my gospel. So the Holy Spirit that is within me, and the Word of God that is within me, and the power of the precious blood. These are things that you must meditate deeply every day. And furthermore, you will understand the full extent of the glory of those elements that are within you. This is how you establish your identity. And the identity of the gospel becomes your personal identity as well. And like I said yesterday, if the word of God is being proclaimed correctly through the grace of God into the church, then your dignity and the dignity of your church members will skyrocket. But simultaneously, it also becomes impossible for you to not rely on Him. And this is possible because the full truth of the Lord was given to you. And that allows the church members to not compromise with the world.
They are not the beings who live by what the world requires and what the world gives, but they are the ones who live by what God gives to them. And when that happens to the church, then church will become gloriously inevitably. That is why Paul says that do not let this become a stumbling block. Verse 4, don't worry, I will finish quickly. I need to catch up my pace. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. So today's text is divided into three different sections. Until verse 5. So it is about troubles, hardship, and distress, beatings, imprisonment, and riots. So everything's are related with three things. There are three different sections that are all connected. But they are all connected to endurance, in great endurance. Endurance means that you are holding on to a situation. So what Paul is saying that Paul has the strength to hold on under God's grace in a situation or in a suffering. But it is because he was firmly believing in his calling as servants, that God is the master and he is the servant. So linguistically, servants are not that of an interesting job. But imagine that you are a servant of a Caesar, then it's a tremendous calling. Paul is the same. When you are before God, he was a being who was completely humble. But he had the identity of the servant of the King of Kings. That is why he is being fully responsible for him. That's why the grace that comes from him allows Paul to carry everything. So the reason why Paul was in the midst of the suffering is not because he was lacking something, but it is because of Paul's identity that only allows him to go within this path. So ultimately, when we meet the Lord, the only way that we can go is the narrow path. It's not the matter of our decision. The only option that we have is to walk on the narrow path. So now is the final chance for you. It's your final opportunity to quit your job as a pastor. So when you just listen to that, I mean, it's a foolish thing to become a pastor. But I'll tell you a secret. Even the lay members have to go on this path. So how much more would pastors? So let us become, let's be ordained first. Okay? Are you sure that you want to be ordained? So look. So it's not because Paul was not good at something or he has to do this. But as servant of God, he must go on this path. We should not expect ourselves to walk on this fancy or luxurious road that people are expecting in the world. It's not because of the honor and respect of the world. But our conclusion is, when the kingdom of God comes, how are you going to stand before God? That is the conclusion of our pastor ministry. That's why we walk on this narrow path. I cannot explain them all, but there's nothing interesting in that path. Suffering, imprisonment, beating, hardship, distress, hunger, sleepless nights. So I always say like that. This Bible is the record of the people who were completely wasted after believing in Christ. Amen. But when you see His glory, you will naturally live like that. So all you candidates should believe that it is my identity to walk on this narrow path. And normally, people in the world will say that this is a failure, life of a failure. But the people of God, people who are spiritual, will not care about the evaluation of the world. because the world will always evaluate you through the worldly, fleshly standard. Whether you have money or not, which family background you came from, and even more, whether you are ugly or handsome, and you don't know what the standard of the handsome is. Except for Sergio here, you know, everybody here is hopeless. Okay, let's move on. Okay, that's the end of verse 5. I told you that I'm finishing early. And then let's go to verses 6 and 7. So though we are walking on this path of troublesome and suffering, the reason why we can be victorious is because God gave us the weapon to be victorious. And that's God's work of grace. And first, in verse 6, impurity. You know, both in Hebrew and in Greek, what is the most important comes at first in the sentence. So, whether you're a pastor or a lay member, all the key of your victory comes from your purity and your holiness. No matter how excellent you are in techniques, if you lose the purity and the holiness, then you cannot do anything. But even if you are not good at anything, as long as you have purity and holiness, God can use you for anything. That's why church has to put their lives in the purity, in the holiness. So when we live by the kingdom of God, if you look at worldly perspective, it means that we are not living by the world. Because the kingdom of the world is not slightly different, but it is completely opposite from one another. When the world rejoices in it, God will not rejoice in it. When God likes it, the world will hate it. So it is the complete opposite. So the world can never be pure, because it is where these dirty spirits are ruling. So if you live by the world, then you will always be polluted and become dirty. But if you live by God, you will always be holy. So all the dignity that was given to you, where did it begin? It began by God saying that, "Be holy, for I am holy." So the word holiness can only be used by God, but God also gave that tremendous name to us as well. Be holy, for I am holy. So the righteousness of the precious blood of Jesus can always confirm that holiness to me. And when we receive that holiness, that's when the poison of Babylon begins to disappear from us. And because we are living in this world, we may get influenced by the poison of Babylon. But when we receive the holiness that God gives us, we can make that Babylon, the poison of Babylon, to be disappeared. And when we lose that poison, all the senses of God's reign begins to shine from you, and you will begin to be alive in God's reign. Amen. So we can talk about many things, but this is the important thing. So ultimately, when God's temple is working correctly, your spirit will become pure. Just like Beatitudes, that pure spirit will lead you into the glory where you can see God, just like Beatitudes. All our candidates here and everybody who is here should desire and yearn for this purity. You should always review your daily life and remove all the dirty things. This is the most powerful weapon that God gave us. Be holy, for I am holy. Because He has given us His holiness, it means that He has given us all the dignity. Just like 1 Peter, that's why all the angels are even adoring you. Amen? Isn't this amazing? Let all the spirit of religion flee away. Okay? Be blessed, be blessed. It is important for you to be blessed. Okay, Paul also talked about the knowledge, the understanding. This understanding is not something that he obtained from his studies. But it is the knowledge of experiencing God that he received from his relationship between God. Especially, Paul is saying through this relationship that he has been entrusted the God's secret. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians. And when you look at Colossians, Paul says that the word of God is secret. And through the secret, God's glory is always revealed. And within his glory, there's an abundance. That's one package. So within the word of God, it fulfills the fullness, abundance, and the glory of God. And because Paul knows the secret of God's gospel, that's why he is unknown, yet he is the one who makes everybody to be famous. And you are receiving that understanding from Zoe Ministry correctly. And there is endurance, patience. And among all the signs of apostle, Paul talked about many things, and he mentions about the patience for the first thing. And after pastoring over 30 years, I realized why Paul emphasized patience out of all the signs of apostles. Who are the pastors? They are the ones who wait upon God. And they are the ones who wait upon the souls and the spirits. Because they are not the ones who can do anything by themselves. But they are the ones who wait upon God, and they are the ones who flow what God gives. So they should wait upon God. And in order for the spirits to be raised, it takes time. It does not happen like all of a sudden. So that's why they should wait upon the spirits. That's why patience is important. And patience is not something that you can make out of your own will. Just like Romans 5 says, the suffering will create endurance. So if you live by truth, you will enter into the narrow path. That's where you can create the character of endurance. Patience, endurance, in the original text of the language, it has the meaning of spiritual muscle. When you first live with God, the first process that you should pass is to endure by being beat up. So through that process, you grow in your strength. So enemy will get tired by hitting you and beating you. So how difficult would it be because you have to walk all that path? I'm almost at the end, but you are now beginning that path. I feel sorry for you. Okay, let's move on. And then, and kindness. Kindness. It is kindness. And we've been talking about the mercy throughout this week, right? Okay, let's move on. And then in the Holy Spirit. And the Korean translation is a little weird, but you know, it should be translated as in the Holy Spirit. And Paul intentionally recorded it like this. And he was talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit by saying this. And I'm thinking that he might have been talking about the spiritual gifts. But Paul didn't prioritize the spiritual gift, but instead he was talking about the spiritual fruits. So ultimately, you will become like that. But the spiritual gifts are the things that are manifested without your characters. But in order for the spiritual gifts to be strengthened, you have to have the fruits of the Holy Spirit correctly. And even though Paul does not say that in this book, but in order to bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the soil that you have in your spirit is also important. Because the only soil that can bear fruit in the Bible is the good soil. If you sow the seeds in the good soil, you will surely bear fruits. That's why these fruits are important. And these are the powers that enables you to walk on the narrow path. And love without, and sincere love is one of the most representative image of life that the Bible is talking about. What is the wickedness? Just like Habakkuk says, it is living by yourself. Everyone who lives by themselves is wicked people. By their own strength, by their own money, it's all about wickedness. And the most representative image of life that the wicked person live by is the lies. It means that if anything is not beneficial for themselves, they would always live by these false livings. That's why in Romans chapter 3, Paul says, there is no righteousness. Everything is lies. So, you know, normally, everybody in the world are liars. That's why you can never trust the world. Trusting the world is a foolish thing. So what is a sincere love? It is the purity of God where you do not mix yourself within it. Okay, let's go to verse 7. The truthful speech, these are all weapons. And truthful speech means that you are proclaiming the gospel in the original language. So it's kerygma in Greek. So you should have the truth in you. And you should become pure so that you would be used as a channel to proclaim that truth. That's why you can have the power to speak. And our servants, our pastors should have an authority of speech like this. Then that's when they would know what the power of God is. So for the kingdom of God, for the church of God, God will never spare anything. But it is all about whether you can receive it or not. Even more, God wants to give you even more than what you ask for. And weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. Weapons of the righteousness means that you both have the weapons for attacking and defending. That's what it means by having in both hands. And Paul also said that he had the weapon of righteousness in both hands. And this is what we've been saying throughout the conference. Everything that God gives is given through this relationship of righteousness between Him. Because we are receiving everything from God, that's why we have to meet God. That's the status of righteousness. So that is why Paul is calling that as weapons of righteousness, because everything comes from God. Whether you are a lay member or a pastor, if you are meeting with God, then nothing will become a problem in your life. Amen? So if you have some kind of problem, then it means that you are not meeting with God. Because when God made man, he set a principle that you have to meet me in order to live. So the reason why your life is being destroyed is because you are living by what you have, living by what you know. There is nothing else that is guaranteed for us for eternity besides God. The moment when we think that we possess it, it disappears. The moment when we think that we know it, we forget about it. That's a limitation of man. It is God alone that is guaranteed to us for eternity. Amen? Okay, let's look at the new identity from verse 8. It is really heavy here. The atmosphere is really heavy. Is it because I'm wearing this gown? Because these gowns really do bring that kind of atmosphere and tendencies. So I'm thinking about not wearing this from the next general assembly. Because whenever I wear this, I kind of feel like I'm holier and I'm looking more cool. So from next year, general assembly, we will be wearing the we'll be wearing the army uniform. I'm not doing it because of that pastor. Look at Sergio, you know. It's becoming lighter. Maybe because I'm wearing this, you are being oppressed by my spirit of religion. But don't be. You don't have to be. This is an extension of the conference from yesterday. So, how important are these words as pastors? Before you met Zoe Ministry, you all learned religion. And I can surely say like that. And after ministering over 37 years, if there was an exception, then I wouldn't say like that. But I have never seen an exception in my ministry. Everybody was religious. So you learn what a pastor is under the frame of religion. That's why church is just dying out. But we are not religious people. We are about life. Church is life. Amen. So, you know, I kind of feel sorry for Pastor Sergio for he's even translating on the day that he is being ordained. And I've been telling him to bring another translator over 10 years. But it is because of you who have not done that. So, you know, don't blame me. Our Pastor Sergio has a very strong desire of monopolizing. He's like, this ministry can be done by myself alone. So it is him, you know, who is making him to suffer like this. Okay, you know, I'll be finishing within 10 minutes. Okay, let's move on. Paul is talking about the new identity that he has. Through glory and dishonor. bad report and good report. Genuine yet regarded as imposters. That's what he's saying. He's talking about the respects and disrespects of Paul. So it is not like Paul was enjoying the disrespects that he has received. But as I said earlier, Paul does not care about those names. But rather, what Paul cared about was about the popularity that the people gave. Because mankind, whenever we are comfortable, what kind of tendency will we have? We would become loosened to respond to our old self. And of course, I'm talking about the believers. When there is a suffering, and when we lack money, and when we struggle, then we become more tensed before God. And when you are tensed before God, then it means that you are in a new self status. But when you are acknowledged by people, and when you are being recognized, then you will not be so intensified about your old self. That's when the wickedness comes. So at the earlier stage of your ministry, because you are having difficult times, so you will always be tensed, being tensed by the new self. But for the people like me who has been ministering over 30 years and who has entered into a stable status, then you might be loosened in your heart. And in our church, there are more than 20 associate pastors who are working very diligently for me. And all Zoe Ministry churches around the world, they follow according to I proclaim. Though the world do not recognize me, but at least all the churches in Zoe Ministry around the world, they love me. Amen. And after the conference is finished, there are too many people who want to take photo with me. And if I don't do anything about this spiritually, then not because of yourself, but because of these kind of things, it becomes a channel of my death. So after feeding of the 5,000, what did our Lord Jesus do? He sent his disciples across the river because the disciples wanted to enjoy that popularity and fame. But after sending away his disciples, Jesus went up to the mountain. This is not an easy thing. And even more, after destroying 850 Baal priests, how tremendous was this? Elijah. Imagine how great glory that he had experienced. But Elijah went back up to Mount Carmel so that God would pour his anointing back to him again. So you should always keep this in mind. So look how many tremendous things have happened in Zoe Ministry. That person came back to life. A metal that was implanted in our body was disappeared. There was a person who completely shattered his leg, was healed. And even during this conference, but the fame and honor that people bring can kill the servants of God. So the only barricade you should have against the disrespect of the people is not to get hurt and not to hate that person back. Those are the two things that you should always concern about. But once you receive the honor and fame from the people, according to the root of the Sarks, which is to have the desire of security, possession, and security, and honor, and fame, and idolatry. These kind of desires would begin to be activated once you begin to receive fame and honor. So you should always have the spiritual status of being able to discern these kind of things. Sergio has been ministering with me over 10 years. And you never know how much he's receiving the honor and fame from Latin people. How can you interpret so well? You are better looking than the main speaker. So you should be careful. You should be very careful. That's the venom that they are feeding you. So that's what Paul is saying here as well. Genuine yet regarded as imposters. This is the reaction to the gospel that Paul preached. And during his time, Paul was also accused as heresy. That's what 2 Corinthians is saying, right? So, you know, for myself, I've been hearing that I'm a heresy over 37 years. But we should not receive any hurts because of these kind of things either. You should not waste your energy because of these reasons. As I said earlier, you should not try to convince people and persuade people. And many people who love me say like this, "Hey, Pastor Kim, why don't you try to erase all those false accusations in the internet?" But I always tell them to leave them be. Because those people who still come to Zoe Ministry after seeing that are the genuine ones, right? They are the reals. Amen. You guys are enjoying because I call you real. But you are genuine people. You are real. So in that sense, Paul was keep saying that I'm the one who is standing before God. And in next verse, Paul says that though I am unknown, yet I am known to God. So if God acknowledges you, then that's all. That satisfies you. We are not just saying this out of our thoughts. When you die to your desires, those fundamental desires, back in the days, you know, you would be aware of someone, you know, praising you. But now, you know, I got indifferent for them. I became dull to those kind of things. Because I'm always standing before God. And I receive the excitement of joy of being recognized by God. Does that mean that I'm perfect? No. It means that I am never letting loose on my alertness against this. So for those of you who have just begun this process, then this kind of things would not happen to you that easily. But after a certain period of time pass, and when you begin to have more followers, that's when the enemies begin to penetrate in your ministry. So all our servants, no matter what God gives you, no matter how much people exalt you, that poison should not be involved in you. God really wants to see those kind of pastors. And when God sees those pastors, God doesn't know what to do about them because they are so precious. You know, when I look at my grandson, I don't know what to do about him because he's so precious. And that's what God feels about his pastors. When God look at his holy servants, that's how he feels. Hallelujah. Okay, let's continue. Now we are talking about the new identity we have. Verse 9. Known yet regarded as unknown. Verses 9 and 10 are just list of those participles. So the reaction toward his identity was very clear. The participle in the Greek is describing about a status, about a state. So even though there is not a verb, you understand what it means. But rather, what Paul is doing is proclaiming about his identity more firmly. The world doesn't know about Paul that much. But that does not really matter. And the world don't even know about that. So look, life in the world is all about people's opinion, right? You have to be known by people so that you will succeed. So pastors, if they become religious, they would be more sensitive to the popularity more than celebrities. Seriously, if the pastors lose their popularity, then they're finished. That's how much more sensitive they are to the popularities when they become religious. So a handsome pastor like Sergio would have a great possibility to be successful in his ministry. You know, there is a pastor who came from Mozambique, Pastor Philemon. You know, pastor like him, I don't understand why he's ministering. He would have no popularity. He may be popular to his wife, but God is saying that there is no other servant like him. So the first moment when I met him, hey, pack your belongings and come to Korea. And what a sincere servant he is. It does not matter what the world says about him. That's why we are unknown. But yet we are known before God. The creator of the universe, the king of the kings. If he acknowledges you, then isn't that enough? Amen. When you look at Zephaniah, when we go before our Lord, Zephaniah is calling our reward like this, the honor and fame. So as you live on this earth, the honor and fame from God does not seem that great because our characters are corrupted. But realistically, we would just think that, oh, why wouldn't God just give me a gold bar instead of that? But who is acknowledging a person? He is being acknowledged by the King of Kings. So all the angels, all the righteous people, when his glory comes, they will bow down before him. That's the reward that you receive in the kingdom of God. And there will be an honor. the King of Kings, the Lord of the Lords will honor you every day. So, okay, refer to the Zephaniah sermon. But anyways, that's how tremendous and great the honor and fame from God is. So those kind of people will never be interested to the fame and honor of the world, the popularity of the world. So do not indulge yourself into these kind of things. You should only be recognized by God alone. So all the angels, all the righteous beings will look upon you. Amen. And what else is he saying? Dying and yet we live on. We said that yesterday too, right? In Jesus we die every day. So we are not pastor ministering in order to live on this earth. So if you are ministering in order to live, then you will try to satisfy your greed through the frame of religion. You want to grow in number, and you will activate the desire of fame in you. And as you become popular, you will try to accomplish things. Those kind of desires will begin to work in you. So we are not ministering because we want to live. Just like Paul said, we need to die to ourselves every day. That's why God makes you to live every day. Though the world do not recognize you, God is always recognized. Amen. What else is he saying? Bitten and yet not killed. When you live by the righteousness, you are supposed to be persecuted. But all the suffering that we receive will conclude into the time of glory before God. It will never destroy us, or it will never conclude our life. I wish that you would be filled with the excitement and the joy of being persecuted by the righteousness, for the righteousness. Okay, let's go to the last verse. Verse 10. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And Paul is not saying that you should not be sorrowful at all. But what he's saying is that you should not be worried about what the world says. But you should be able to sorrow, to sorrow for not being able to stand before God in the right way. So we should be always be sad about not being able to empty ourselves before God. But we don't have to worry and be sad about what the world is doing to us. But rather, we should be able to be happy for the world is not giving anything to us. That's the joy that we should have in God. So ministry is like that. How can we do our ministry without receiving joy from God? And that is why we are gathered here, right? Because of that joy. And we talked about that large, gigantic tree, right? Even though our ministry is so tiring like that, we can still, you know, take care of this ministry in joy. Amen? Aren't you guys happy? Aren't you guys joyful? But yet, you should be able to be sorrowful for your physical, fleshly things. Poor yet making many rich. We are all poor, right? We ourselves do not have anything. And spiritually, we are the ones who have poor spirit. We do not try to become rich to ourselves. But through us, God is making everyone rich. Our church is really poor. even the rich are to become poor, because they have to give everything for the kingdom of God. But for the last 20 years, Zoe Ministry has been spending over $8 million. How amazing is this? $80 million. A church that is so small like this spent more than $80 million. We don't know how we were able to do that, but as Paul said, we are poor, but yet we are the ones who make everyone rich. So we should never seek for the richness of the world. We should always be rich only in God. Though we desire and seek for the abundant kingdom of God, but we should never seek for the richness of the world. That's why we should stand before God all the time. That's why no matter what we ask, God will always give us. And when you have the poor spirit to receive them, then you will be satisfied by that. Hallelujah. Having nothing and yet possessing everything. Same context from before, right? So your lifestyle should be clear. We should never seek the abundance of the world, because we don't have to. It is not that we are trying not to do it, but because possessing is a hassle. It is such a tedious thing. When all the universe is yours, when you look at like 1 Corinthians 3:21, all creation belongs to you. All creation is yours. Whether you have it in your pocket or not, it does not really matter. So that's why you don't seek and desire for the abundance of the world. As I said, what you have, what you not have, will not determine your worthiness. So it does not matter whether you have it or not. So for some people, they would stumble when they have. And for some people, they will stumble when they don't have. It is because they don't have authority over materials. But because God, who rules the creation, is in me, whether I possess or not will never become a problem. And at the same time, that's why we can pursue the poorness. That's why we can always empty ourselves, so that we can always be used by God. That's when your prayer becomes so powerful. So, why are you not being able to pray? It is not because you don't possess, but because you are not having God. You are having too much things. You are having too many things. So the power of calling God's name is not being lifted up to the heavens. When you call Lord Jesus, you alone can bring the poorness in my heart. And when those kind of people call the name of God, then it becomes a great power to shake the throne of God. Just like James chapter 5, you will have the power to make the heavenly doors to become automatic. Hallelujah. Including all the ordination candidates. I wish and I bless that all of you will become blessed servants like that. Let's pray. Hold on to today's message. Lord, help us to all have this new identity. Let all these candidates who are sitting here become powerful servants like that. Especially, Lord, when all these creations are waiting for your return. Lord, when these creations are waiting for your children to return. Let these servants be the servants who can raise the sons of God to be raised. Lord, talk to these servants. Yet you may seem unknown, yet you are known. You are the one who are making everyone rich. You are the sorrowful, but yet you are the one who make everyone happy. Lord, we praise you for giving us this identity. Lord, bless us so that we would enter into the fullness of you through this season. Let's pray together.